You can get more information at danafarber.org/everywhere. At our website, you can get more information on a whole lot of things, including, well, celebrating the winter solstice. Why not? It's cold enough.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man!
No, 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 sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them. Like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within?
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
Ta-da!
To...
Twinsies!
I kind of love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Do we have an obligation to be moral? How do we even know what is right or wrong?
Do we really have free will, or are the choices we make the result of causes and effects beyond our control?
Is my mind or soul a separate thing from my body, or just a function or product of my brain?
Are these the type of questions that interest you? Do you want to develop your skills in reasoning? Then you should check out the courses in philosophy that are offered at Henry Ford College. Philosophy deals with big perennial questions, questions that keep cropping up each generation because they are too big for one person or generation to answer completely. It is a quest to find the fundamental truths about our lives and our world through critical thinking. Henry Ford College regularly offers the following courses:
Introduction to Philosophy,
Introduction to Logic,
History of Philosophy,
Ethics, and Eastern Philosophy.
These courses will help you earn your degree and will help shape your thought for the rest of your life. For more information about the philosophy courses at Henry Ford College, look online at hfcc.edu or contact Professor Ryan Scholler at rshowler@hfcc.edu.
The Hawk's Nest is holding a food drive to help restock the pantry for those in need. Help fight food insecurity on Henry Ford College's campus by making a donation of food or personal hygiene products today. Items can be donated now through November 8th at the Hawk's Nest in the ASCC Building L, room 138, or the Office of Student Activities in the Student Center Building M, room 105. For more information or questions, please call 313-317-1756.
Cliff Bells will be hosting a very special WHFR Jazz Benefit on Sunday, November 17th. Please join us for an evening of jazz improvisation starring Dave Hurley and the Outer Nebula Trio, featuring Raphael Staton, Bear Trap, Michael Malice's Exploration Ensemble, Planetary Citizenship, featuring O'Donnell, Spangler, Bergman, Wallace, and CUNY. Doors open at 7 o'clock, all ages welcome. Minors must be accompanied by an adult. All proceeds from the $10 donation entry fee go directly to WHFR. We hope to see you at Cliff Bell's on Sunday, November 17th for WHFR's Jazz Benefit. Please visit WHFR.fm for more information.
The Jack Benny Program.
Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we'd like to take you out to Jack Benny's home in Beverly Hills. It's evening, and Jack has just finished dinner and is relaxing in his usual way.
You know, Rochester, I always like to play my violin after dinner. So it soothes and relaxes me. I hope it doesn't bother you.
Oh, no, I haven't had my dinner yet.
Good, good. You know, Rochester, I often think what a fool I was not to have made the violin my career. You know, I might have become a great virtuoso, but no. Instead, I had to become a comedian, a clown, a buffoon.
But a rich buffoon.
That's the wrong attitude. The world would be better off if people had a different viewpoint. You know, money isn't everything. Remember what Shakespeare said. He who steals my purse steals trash.
I wish you'd throw some of that garbage on me.
Rod, just clear off the table. Let me practice my violin. I want to prepare for my stage appearances in Detroit and Cleveland. Let me see. I want to learn that new song first. Here it is. First again with tobacco men. Gee, that song is catching on fast. I heard it last night on the hit parade. Well, I've practiced enough, but I don't feel like going to bed. I think I'll go in the den and listen to the radio. Now, hello, Polly. Daddy's going to listen to the radio.
Fred Allen stinks. Fred Allen stinks.
Maybe I shouldn't have taught her that. But then, she'd have found out herself. Yeah, I wonder what's on the air right now.
Friends, do you have a tendency to be a little too fat around the waist? You do? Well, what you need is exercise. First, stand in front of your fireplace. That's right. Now lift your right leg higher, higher, higher. Now rest your foot on the mantelpiece. Have you got one foot on the floor and one foot on the mantelpiece? Good. We now leave the air until the same time tomorrow.
That's ridiculous. I wonder what else is on. Gee, it's hard to reach the dial with one foot on the mantelpiece. There, I made it.
This is Blanche Stewart, your daily beauty consultant. Ladies, is your skin rough and dry? Are your pores large and coarse? Is your complexion dull and blotchy? Is your hair stringy and full of snarls? It is? Well, stay in the house, kid. You're a mess.
I don't know, there must be something on the air tonight besides commercials. Oh, there's the phone. Hello?
Hello, Jack.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Jack, are we going to have rehearsal at your house or NBC?
What?
Are we going to have rehearsal at your house or NBC?
Mary, I can hardly hear you. Get closer to the phone.
I can't. I've got one foot on the floor and one foot on the mat.
Gee, that program must have a terrific hooper. I think so, Ram? Oh, Mary, what did you ask me before?
I said, where are we having rehearsal?
Oh, rehearsal will be tomorrow at NBC.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, say, Jack.
Yes?
I've got the most wonderful news. My sister Babe is coming out to California to go on television.
Your sister Babe on television? Well, what is she going to do?
She's going to double for Gorgeous George.
Say, that's great. Listen, give her my congratulations.
Oh, hello, Jack. Rochester told me you were in here.
Oh, hello, Don. Mary, Don's here. I got to hang up. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hiya, Don. Come on in. Sit down.
Okay. Come on in, fellas.
Oh, you brought the sportsman with you. Hello, boys. Don, I meant to call you, but we're not having rehearsal until tomorrow. As long as you're here, sit down.
Well, thanks, Jack. Aren't you going to sit down, too?
No, I'll just put my foot back on the mantelpiece.
Well, Jack, even though we're not rehearsing until tomorrow, the boys have prepared a beautiful number for the show, and they'd like to have you hear it right now. They're going out of town for a few days.
Business?
Oh, no. You see, the boys took their wives fishing at Big Bear Lake last week, and they're going back there again.
Gee, I wish I could go. What are they going to fish for, perch or trout?
The baritone's wife. She fell out of the boat Wednesday.
Oh, well, then by all means, let's hear him sing now. She must be awfully tired treading water. Go ahead, boys.
Hold on, wait a minute, Jack. This is a big production number, and there's a part in it for you on the violin.
For me? Well, good. Now, where's my violin?
Under your chin.
Oh, yes. That was the stickiest spaghetti I had for dinner. Now, let's go, Don. What number are we going to do?
The Saber Dance by Cacciatorium.
The Saber Dance? Well, that should be wonderful. Come on, fellas, hit it.
You better hurry, hurry, you don't want us all to worry, hurry up. There is one important thing, as you may guess. Holiday, a product is essential to continuing success.
Don,
yeah.
Don, congratulations. Really, that was a wonderful number.
Well, thanks, Jack. I knew you'd like it.
I certainly did. Well, see you Sunday, fellas. Goodbye.
So long, Jack.
So long. Jack, folks. Now, those boys are such nice fellas. 65 cents in the Coca-Cola machine. Well, I think I'll take my change belt off and go in the library. I'll read for an hour or so before I go to bed. Just look at this room. What a mess. Oh, Rochester! Rochester! Every time I want him, he takes so long to
get... Did you call me, Mr. Billy?
Yeah, where were you?
I was in the kitchen ironing your nightgown.
Well, I hope you didn't put too much starch in it again. Last night, I felt like I was sleeping in a Quonset hut. I like a nightgown to cling a little. Now, Rochester, this room is such a mess. I wish... Rochester, do you smell something burning?
Uh-oh, the iron!
My nightgown! Well, is it burnt?
Boy, something tells me this Quonset hunter's gonna have a window in it.
Let me see that nightgown.
It'll be okay, boss. I'll put a flap on it.
See that you do. I'm going back in the library and read. I'll call you, Rochester, when I want to go to bed. Da-da-dum-bum-da-dee-da-da-dum. Da-da-dum-bum-bum-bum-ba-bum-bum. Now, let me see. I like to read a good mystery for a change. What are these books? Kiss the Blood Off My Hands. The Crushed Skull. The Mutilated Torso. Lilacs in the Spring. Nah, that's too gruesome. Let's see. Oh, my goodness, these two books shouldn't be together. The Proper Bostonians and the Kinsey Report. Here's a mystery I haven't read. I was framed by the author of I Stand Condemned. Gee, his new book ought to be good. I'll just curl up in this easy chair and read it. Chapter 1. I was framed.
My name is Bruce Fink. Oh, it's an ordinary name. It hasn't even been mentioned as a Republican candidate. I was an average man with normal habits. My only fault was, perhaps, that I spent my money a little too freely.
Gee.
It all started one evening last April. We had just finished dinner and I was in the kitchen washing the dishes. My wife, Flossie, was in the parlor dancing with our boarder, Silk Shirt Harry. I also had a son named Gus. Some people thought he was stupid because he was 16 years old and he had just learned to tie his shoelaces. Someday he may even learn to tie them when they're in his shoes. But I loved him. That evening, Gus was helping me with the dishes.
What's this, Papa?
That's a cup, son.
Oh, and is this a saucer?
No, that's a knife. Saucer knife. Saucer knife. Saucer knife. Have you got that, son?
Son?
Yes, you're my son and I'm your father. This is a cup and this is the knife. The one with the point is the knife. The one with the handle is the cup. And the one with the hole is your head. Now, do you understand?
Yes, son.
No. No, look, you're the son. You see, I'm your father. But don't try to learn too much at one time.
All right, I'll go to bed now.
Good night, my boy.
Good night, Papa. Oh, Papa.
Yes, son.
Papa, when are you going to tell me about the birds and the bees?
Don't worry about the birds and the bees. First learn about the cups and the saucers. They enjoy life, too. Good night, Gus.
Good night, Papa.
Gus called me Papa. And I was glad that I made the right decision. 2 days before, I almost traded him for a Cocker Spaniel. I put away the dishes and started toward the parlor to join my wife, Flossie, and our boarder, Silk Shirt Harry.
Ah, swing it, Flossie, you little dove, you.
I'm way ahead of you, Harry.
Hey, honey, let's try that dip again.
Oh, you sure got a mean run.
That's nothing, baby. You ought to catch me on linoleum.
Oh, Harry, hold me closer. I love to smell that bay rum.
I know, baby. That's why I drink it straight.
Mind if I cut in, sweetheart?
Are you finished with the dishes already?
Oh, yes. They're all washed and put away.
Look, Fink. Flossie and I are busy. Here's a dime. Why don't you run down to the store?
What do you want me to get?
Lost.
I walked out of the house smiling at Flossie's little joke. Then I was horrified to see our son Gus lying on the front lawn with a broken leg. I know what had happened. When he went up to his room, he stepped out on the balcony to get some fresh air. If I told him once, I told him 1,000 times. We haven't got a balcony. As I bent over him, Gus opened his eyes and said,
"What happened, son?"
No, you're the son. I'm your father.
Oh,
Tell me, are you hurt?
Yes, I think I broke my saucer.
That's your leg.
As I walked down the street toward the corner store, I couldn't help thinking how lucky I was. I had a wonderful wife, a son with a broken saucer, and a boarder who had his own show and went off the air for the summer. What man could ask for more? Although I had never cared for riches, I did wish that I could afford to buy my wife, Flossie, the little extra thing she never had before, like toothpaste, a toothbrush, or even tea. I continued walking down the street when suddenly a voice called to me from the darkened doorway of the First National Bank.
Hey, you. You.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Come here. You want to make 50 bucks?
Without even thinking, I said no. Which proves I wasn't thinking. So I thought it over and said,
did you say 50 bucks?
Yeah. All you gotta do is stand out here in front of the bank, and if you see a cop, just whistle.
Whistle?
Yeah. Whistle something like Melancholy Baby or Ballerina. Any popular number.
If you don't mind, I'd like to whistle Stardust. I'm a friend of Hugo Carmichael.
Whistle Ballerina. And when you see a cop coming, whistle loud so me and my friend can hear you.
They weren't fooling me. I knew they were song pluggers. I stood in front of the bank thinking of the $50 I was going to make. To me, that was a fortune. The nearest I ever came to being rich was when I almost guessed the name of the walking man. I was so sure it was Frank Remley. He fell off his stool for the summer. I stood there lost in thought when suddenly from inside of the bank, I heard... The bank now had an open-toed vault. The next thing I knew, I was in a speeding car seated between two men and three sacks of money. Then suddenly it dawned upon me. This was a holdup. The rest of that ride was like a nightmare. Then the two men began to talk.
Hey, Clyde. How much did you promise this Fink?
They knew my name. I looked at the men, then I looked at their guns. I noticed the guns were identical, so I asked them why they both carried .32 caliber automatics. And they said,
they're first again with hold-up men.
I knew what they meant, but I missed the music. I leered back at them and said,
you fellas can't get away with this. I'm going to the police.
You can't go to the police, buddy. You're in this as deep as we are.
I knew that the two men were right. I was trapped. Through no fault of my own, I, Bruce Criminal, was now a Fink. I mean, Bruce Fink was now a criminal. As I rode along with the three sacks of money, the car stopped at a corner. The men picked up two more sacks. One was Saks Fifth Avenue. The car was now so crowded I had to sit in the back with the escalator. Finally, they threw me out of the car. By the time I got home, it was morning. A dreary morning. I looked up at the sky. Suddenly, the sun broke through the O in Honest John. Through the window, I could see Silk Shirt Harry holding my wife, Flossie, in his arms. Their lips were pressed together. I dreaded going into the house. I'd been gone all night, and I couldn't tell them where I'd been. I didn't want Flossie to think that I was in love with another woman. I racked my brain, but I couldn't think of an excuse. So I decided to go in and brazen it out. As I opened the door, they were still kissing. As they saw me, their lips parted.
Hello, Harry. Hello, Flossie.
Are you back already?
I know how you must have worried about me, darling, but I couldn't help it. I bumped into an old friend and we got to talking. And you know how time always...
Kiss me again, Harry.
Okay, baby.
It was as simple as that. No questions, no jealous reproaches. Flossie trusted me implicitly. I think Harry did, too. I was heartsick as I went upstairs and threw myself on Gus's bed and knocked my pivot tooth out. If I told him once, I told him 1,000 times. He hasn't got a bed. The next couple of weeks were like a horrible dream. I didn't know what the future had in store for me. I continued with my household duties. One day, as I was pushing bugs out of the screen with a toothpick, my son Gus was sitting nearby doing his homework. He looked up at me and said,
"Oh, fathead."
That's father. At least you're getting closer. What is it, son?
This pencil won't write.
That's a knife. Look, son, that's a knife. This is a cup, and this is a saucer. Do you understand?
Yes, son.
No. I'm your father. Now, how are you getting along with your spelling?
Fine. I can count up to 10 now.
Good work. Now, listen, my boy. I'm going to take you into my confidence. Some men were robbing a bank, and they promised me $50 to whistle if I saw a cop.
A what?
A cop.
That's a saucer.
I left Gus sitting in a pool of blood. I couldn't stand him anymore. As I walked into the kitchen, the phone rang. A shiver went down my back. Then it went up my back. Then it went down my back. The escalator was under my coat. The phone rang again.
Hello?
Hello, Fink. We're pulling another job tonight, and we want you to whistle for us. And you better be there if you know what's good for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'll be there.
I thought of running away. I thought of leaving town. I thought of Jane Russell. I don't know why I thought of her, but it was fun. And when the burglars called, I knew I'd be there. This meant I'd have to leave the house again. But I didn't know how to break the news to my wife. I hoped she wouldn't take it too hard. I opened the door and walked into the parlor where I found Flossie and Harry looking at our picture album.
Look at this one, Harry. This is a picture of me and my husband, Bruce, the night we first met.
Yeah. Hey, who's the other guy in the picture?
That's Ralph Edwards. He introduced me to Bruce as part of my consequence.
Flossie, dear, I have to go out again tonight, and I may not be home until late.
And look, Harry, here's a picture we took on our honeymoon. This is Bruce in his bathing suit.
Holy mackerel, what a physique. He looks like something that was pushed through a screen with a toothpick. Oh, I don't blame you for being furious, Flossie. But you'll have to trust me. And remember, no matter what happens, I want you to know that I love you. Well, I gotta go now. Goodbye, Harry. Goodbye, Flossie.
How about a kiss?
Not wanting to interrupt them, I tiptoed out of the room. Once again, I walked out into the night to keep a rendezvous with destiny. That night, while I whistled, they robbed the Second National Bank. The next night, they robbed the Third National Bank. The night after that, the Fourth National. And the following night, the Sixth National. Everyone was expecting it to be the Fifth. Oh, they were shrewd, all right. And then... it happened. The crooks decided I outlived my usefulness. They took me to a lonely road to bump me off. And I stood there helpless. They came at me with their guns drawn. I tried to get away, but it was no use. I was cornered, trapped. I screamed for help. Suddenly, from out of nowhere, police cars appeared. Dozens of cops jumped out. I thought I was saved. But no, they thought I was one of the crooks. And they started firing. I was hit in the arm, in the leg. I sank to my knees when suddenly...
The last page of this book is missing. Wait, quite a few pages are gone. Oh, Rochester! Rochester!
Did you call me, boss? Yeah.
What happened to this book? There were about 12 pages torn out of it.
You did that last week when you had your dinner party.
What?
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times, buy paper napkins!
Well,
Well, he got the flap on my nightgown. I think I'll go to bed. Good night, Rochester.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am sure you agree that there is nothing more pathetic than a helpless child suffering from starvation, exposure, and sickness. Thousands of kids in the devastated countries are exactly in this predicament. So it's up to us to give them a chance to survive. We must help them grow up to be healthy, clear-thinking citizens. So let's help those unfortunate children by sending our contributions to Crusade for Children, New York City. Save a child, save the future. Thank you. Jack, we'll be back in just a minute, but first...
Gee, it feels good to get in bed. I'm really tired tonight.
Oh, down it, there's the buzzer. Oh, now, who can that be at this hour, I wonder? Yes?
Mr. Benny, if I told you once, I told you 1,000 times.
What is it?
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Guys and dolls, this is Daddy G, and the malt shop is moving to a new time slot, 1 p.m. every Tuesday here in WHFR. We're still spinning the platters from the 50s and 60s just an hour earlier. That's 1 p.m. every Tuesday on 89.3 FM, WHFR.FM. Be there or be square.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes, I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Are you a Dearborn resident 60 years or older? Did you know that you can take classes at Henry Ford College tuition-free? Would you like to improve your computer skills, become an actor, an artist, or an auto mechanic, or enjoy one of 100 other classes? You could even find yourself on the radio like I did, and I did it tuition-free at Henry Ford College. For a complete information and a list of classes, please visit our website at hfcc.edu.
Attention Henry Ford students, the college's winter 2020 semester is fast approaching. Here are some important dates to remember. October 14th, winter 2020 schedule becomes available in the HFC self-service. October 28th, priority registration begins. October 14th, open registration for all students begins. December 23rd, HFC closes for end-of-the-year holidays. January 13th, classes begin. And January 19th is the last day of late registration. Please visit hfcc.edu for more information.
The Jack Benny Program.
Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight the entire Jack Benny troupe is leaving for personal appearances in Detroit and Cleveland, opening Thursday at the Fox Theater in Detroit. As we look in on the Benny household, Jack is packing for the trip.
Rochester, did you put in my shaving cream, brush, and talcum powder?
Yes, sir.
My razor?
Uh-huh. I put in everything but your razor blades. How many do you want to take?
Better take two. I'll be gone 12 weeks. Two will be enough, I think.
Boss, how many shaves do you get out of one razor blade anyway?
About 75.
75 shaves out of one blade? How do you do it?
It's a little secret of mine, Rochester. For the first 50 shaves, I don't take the paper off. I ought to take along something light and cool for my stage appearances.
Shall I pack your gray gabardine?
No. I'll take my white linen suit and I'll wear a blue tie. That sounds like a nice combination. White and blue.
Huh? Uh-huh. Then if you wear your red toupee, you'll look like Old Glory.
No, I'm saving that for the 4th of July. Now, let's see.
You know, boss, I'm awfully excited about going to Detroit. I'm getting a new car.
A new car? Gee, I wish I could afford one. How much is it going to cost you?
$2,100.
Rochester, where'd you get that kind of money?
Well, it's like this. I've been with you 11 years, and by skipping, I've saved half my salary every week. And then last week, it happened.
You finally got enough?
Yeah, my uncle died and left me $2,000.
I see, Roger. I told you when you started, stick with me. You'll be well off. Yeah. Now let's, come in. Well, Joey and Stevie.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Hello, boy. What brings you here today?
We came over to say goodbye.
Well.
Quiet, Stevie. Okay. Mr. Benny, we, the members of the Beverly Hills Beavers, have brought this going-away present to you, our fellow beaver.
Well, gee, fellas, thanks. Shall I open my present now or on the train?
Open it now.
Okay. Oh, just what I've always wanted, a frog. Yeah, what a pretty frog. It sure looks swell.
It looked even better when it was alive.
Well, fellas, I certainly appreciate the sentiment, and I'll keep it with me as long as the weather stays cool. So long, boys.
Goodbye, Beaver Benny.
Well, I guess we're about finished packing Rochester. I wonder if Don Wilson is through with his yet.
Finish the packing.
Okay, darling. Hello? Yes, it's Don Wilson. Long distance? Well, put him on. Hello? Yes, I'm fine. How are you? What? Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations. Nice of you to call me. Goodbye. Oh, darling, have you heard the wonderful news?
No, what?
Lucky's our first again with Tobacco Man.
Now, you better finish that letter you're writing to Mr. Benny.
Well, I am finished. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Okay. Dear Jack, I have talked it over with the little woman, and I've come to the conclusion that an announcer of my reputation should be treated with far more dignity on the program.
Well, that's good. Continue, darling.
For several years now, you've been getting laughs at the expense of my excess weight. I have just about reached the limit of my endurance, and must warn you that I am now serving notice that from this day forward I will not tolerate any references to my obesity.
That's telling him, fatso. Now I'll get your stamp.
You needn't bother. I'm going to tear it up.
Tear up the letter? Well, don't you want Jack to stop making up jokes about you being fat?
Well, let's be honest, darling. My lard is our bread and butter.
That's what I like about you, Donald. You're so cute in a sloppy sort of way.
I know.
Pauline, have you packed all my stockings and nightgowns?
Yes, ma'am.
Good. Now put this eyebrow pencil in my cosmetic case.
Oh, I already packed your eyebrow pencil.
I know, but I better take two. Mr. Benny always forgets his.
See, Miss Livingston, do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
No, what is it, Pauline?
Is there anything between you and Mr. Benny? I mean, has he ever gotten romantic with you?
Well, once, a couple of years ago, he drove me up to Mulholland Drive one night, parked the car, looked at me, then said, "Mary, I'm going to take you in my arms and crush you to a pulp." Then he put his arms around me and squeezed and squeezed.
Gee, what happened?
He broke two of his ribs. Since then, he's never gotten romantic.
Well, Mr. Benny ought to start thinking of getting married real soon. He's 39 and he's not getting any younger.
The way he counts, he's not getting any older either. Now, hurry, Pauline. I have much time.
Oh, gee, Miss Livingston, I sure envy you, making this wonderful trip and being on the same train with Phil Harris.
Oh, you really have a crush on Phil, haven't you, Pauline?
Oh, yes, Miss Livingston. Every time I see Mr. Harris, I wish I was only 2 inches tall.
Only 2 inches tall? Why?
I'd like to take off my shoes and run barefoot through his hair.
Hair. I first noticed it when I saw a picture of him and Alice Faye in a magazine ad.
Bill and Alice? What kind of an ad was it?
Oh, you've seen them. Under the picture it says, "Which one of these twins has the Tony?" I wonder where Phil is. I've been trying to get him on the phone all day.
Hey, gosh, Frankie, just think, in a couple of hours, we'll be on that super cheap bound for Detroit.
Yeah. Gee, Curly, I can hardly wait. Two more scotch and waters, bartender.
Hey,
Frankie, what time is it?
4 o'clock.
What time we come in this joint?
3 o'clock.
That ain't so bad. We only been here 13 hours. Set him up again, bartender.
Yeah.
Hey, Frankie, I think I ought to call up Alice and tell her where I am.
Why, Curly?
Well, I don't want her to think I'm wasting my time in a pool room.
I'll call her later.
Okay.
You know, Curly, I've been thinking and thinking for weeks and weeks. I just realized something.
What?
You and me are a couple of bums.
Well, we ain't so bad. Another round, bartender.
Yeah. You know, I'm not too happy about this trip, Curly. I'll probably be lonesome in Detroit. You'll probably spend all your time with Benny.
Nah. You can't have no fun. You can't have no fun running around with Jackson. His idea of a big time is standing on the street corner trying to whistle at dames.
Trying to whistle?
Yeah, it takes him a half an hour to pucker up those wrinkled old lips.
No kidding.
Yeah, and by the time he does get them puckered, he's too pooped to blow. Two scotches and water, bartender.
Two for me, too.
Frankie, look, it's getting late. We ought to get to that station. I'll go out and call a cab.
No, let's have another drink and float down.
We ain't got no time. Hey, bartender, how much do I owe you?
$475.
Okay, charge it to my account.
$475? You know, Curly, that's kind of expensive.
Yeah, but look at the money we save on food. Come on, we're supposed to pick up Dennis Day on the way to the station. Let's get out of here.
Let's see, I packed all the new things that I bought in the store today. 2 shirts, 2 ties, 2 pair of socks, 2 handkerchiefs, and 36 pair of shorts. Gee, that guy in the underwear department was a good salesman. I don't mind buying all this underwear, but I wish I had gone to the men's department. Well, I'm all ready now. Oh, Mother! Mother!
Your mother isn't here, son.
Who are you?
Your
Your father.
Oh, where's Mother?
She's not home, son. She'll see you down on the train.
Oh, is she going to Detroit?
No, only to Albuquerque. Then a new engineer takes over.
Albuquerque?
Yes.
Well, I better tell her if an Indian tries to sell her any jewelry to look under the blanket, it might be Mr. Benny.
Yes, I'll tell her. Well, son, I'll kind of miss you when you're gone. And I'll feel kind of funny letting you go on the road alone.
Oh, you needn't worry, Dad. I'm with Mr. Benny most of the time.
Mr. Benny, what do you do?
Well, we stand on street corners and he winks and I whistle.
What?
And if a girl stops, he faints and I run. Well, I'm ready to go now, Dad. I'll wait on the porch for Phil Harris.
Oh, son, before you go out, you know that song I like so much, May I Never Love Again?
Yes.
Would you sing it for me?
Okay, son.
No, no, you're the son. I'm your father. Now go ahead and sing.
How much is it, driver?
That'll be $1.95.
$1.95? Here's $2. Keep the change.
Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Mr. Benny, do you mind if I say something?
No, no, no. Go right ahead.
You're tighter than the ice cube tray in a $12 refrigerator.
What? Come on, Mary. Let's go on the station. Over by the information desk.
Say, Jack, there's Dennis over there weighing himself.
Oh, yes. Dennis! Dennis, what are you jumping out of that machine for?
I put a penny in, but no peanuts came out.
Hey, that's a weighing machine. It's a scale. When you put a penny in, a little card comes out. There it is down there.
Oh, yeah. Gee, look, I weigh 155 pounds.
And Dennis, on the other side, is your fortune.
My fortune? Let me see. Gee, now they tell me.
What does it say?
No peanuts.
For heaven's sake, look, kid, you better take care of your baggage, and I'll see you on the train. Come on, Mary.
Jack, I think I'll go over and buy some magazines.
Okay, in the meantime, I'll go over and validate the tickets.
Attention, please. All passengers going to Anaheim, take sandwiches as there is no diner. All passengers going to Azusa, take soft drinks as there is no club car. All passengers going to Cucamonga, take the bus as there is no train.
To buy.
Hiya, Libby, you one-way ticket to dreamland.
Oh, hello, Phil. What are you buying?
Mystery magazine. Here's one that looks good. Who's Gordon?
That's House and Garden.
Oh.
There's a magazine I want. The one with Robert Taylor's picture on it.
Robert Taylor's picture?
Yes.
You mean Spangler Arlington Brew?
No, Phil, I don't mean Spangler Arlington Brew. I mean Robert Taylor.
What are you seeing Bob Taylor anyway?
Well, what is Alice seeing you?
Libby, if I stood here telling you, we'd both miss the train.
Well, that does it. See you later, Phil.
Okay, Lib.
Attention, please. The station master just received a complaint about our service. So from now on, all the weighing machines will give peanuts.
Now, let's see. Where's that ticket window? Oh, yes, there it is, right over there.
Your attention, please. We have an announcement from the Lost and Found Department. Will the owners of these pets please claim them? We have a dog. A horse. A woodpecker. And a pig.
And that's all, folks.
Glenn Rochester's taking care of my parrot.
Oh, Jack!
Oh, hello, Don.
Jack, I'm awfully sorry I'm late, but I stopped by the office to pick up the commercials for our Detroit broadcast.
Well, where's my quartet, the Sportsmen? They were supposed to come to the station with you.
Well, there they are, Jack, down by the gate.
Where?
Right over there, saying goodbye to their wives.
Oh, yes, their wives came down to see them off. Isn't that nice?
Tootsie, goodbye. Tootsie, don't cry. The choo-choo train that takes me away from you, no words can tell how sad it makes me.
Kiss me, Tootsie, and then do it over again.
Watch for the mail, we'll never fail.
If we don't get a letter, then we'll know you're in jail.
Ta-ta, Tootsie, don't cry. Toot-toot, Tootsie, goodbye.
Let's see, this must be the ticket window right here. Oh, mister! Mister!
Yeah.
Are you the agent?
Well, how do you think I got all these tickets? Speeding down Wilshire Boulevard?
Look, I got a ticket to New York, but I want to arrange for stopovers at Detroit and Cleveland.
Detroit and Cleveland? What a coincidence. My parents were in Detroit when I was born in Cleveland.
Wait, how could your parents be in Detroit when you were born in Cleveland?
We had a stork with a lousy bomb sight.
What?
Aren't you glad you asked?
Now, mister,
Look, all I want you to do is validate my tickets.
Pardon me a moment. I'm in a hurry. Do you all mind if I go ahead of you?
No. Go right ahead.
What can I do for you, sir?
Well, I'd like some information about Duwar Diddy.
Yes, sir. What would you like to know?
Well, is old Bob still there with all the news?
Yes, he is.
Does he still wear that box-back coat and the button shoes?
He certainly does. And not only that, he's all caught up with his union day.
Hey, look, mister.
Anything else you'd like to know?
Yes. Do they still have those baked ribs and candied yams and those sugar-cured Virginia hams?
Ooh, do they? And basements full of those berry jam.
No.
You keep out of it.
Pardon me.
And now what else would you like to know?
Well, before I get to Duwar Diddy for those backbones and butter beans, does the train stop so I can sip that absinthe in New Orleans?
You can bet your layer cakey it does.
Well, that's all I wanted to know. Give me a ticket to Pismo Beach.
Here you are, sir.
To him yet, he's got to be nice already.
What are you mumbling about?
Look, mister, all I want you to do is validate my tickets.
Very well. Pullman, P, upper U. Here's your reservation. P, U.
Look, I got a good notion to report you to the company.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't. They don't know I'm working here.
I thought so. Now, give me those tickets.
Attention, please. The Santa Fe Super Chief now leaving on track 9. Aboard.
Jack, hurry up.
Coming, Mary, coming.
Attention, Jack Benny. Attention.
Huh?
You left your briefcase at the taxi stand.
Oh, my goodness.
One of the drivers is bringing it to you.
Yeah, I never even missed it. Oh, here comes the taxi driver now. Oh, buddy, here I am right over here. Oh, gee, thanks a lot, buddy, for bringing me my briefcase. I certainly...
Wait a minute. I know you.
Huh?
I drove you down to the station last time.
You did? Well, give me my briefcase. I've got it.
You're not going away again, are you?
Jack, the train!
Look, buddy,
why do people have to go away? I can't stand saying goodbye.
Buddy, my briefcase, please.
If I give it to you, you'll go. But I can't go through that again. You went away once before.
Look, it wasn't me. You must be thinking of somebody else.
No, it was you, all right. How could I ever forget those big blue eyes?
I know. Now, look, Bud, let go of my briefcase or I'll miss my train.
All right, here. Take it.
I'm coming, Mary. I'm coming.
Why do I have to be a taxi driver and always see people go away?
Attention, please. On track 7, the chief now arriving from Chicago.
Arriving? Oh, goody. People are coming back.
Gentlemen, during the last war, the chief hope of our enemies was to divide the United States along racial and religious lines and thereby conquer us. Let's not spread prejudice. A divided America is a weak America, and we need the same harmony among our various racial and religious groups that was the source of our strength in war. Through our behavior, we encourage the respect of our children and make them better neighbors to all races and religions. Remind them that being good neighbors has helped make our country great and kept her free. Thank you.
Jack, we'll be back in just a minute, but first...
Yum-tum-tum-ta-da-dum-tum-tum. Yum-tum-tum-ta-da-dum-tum-tum. Ladies and gentlemen, be sure to listen. Be sure to listen to A Day in the Life of Dennis Day on Wednesday.
First again on Wednesday.
Next Sunday, we'll be broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan, where we open our personal appearance tour at the Fox Theater on this coming Thursday, featuring Phil Harris, Rochester, the Sportsman Quartet,
and that Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer glamour star, Marilyn Maxwell. Good night, folks.
This is NBC, the national broadcast.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
Guys and dolls, you are at the malt shop with Daddy G. And we're going back to the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror and grab your favorite squeeze. Head on down to the malt shop, where the jukebox is playing. The kids are dancing. Here we are, back in the 50s.
Show me that you love.